I'm thankful to be here, saints. I'm thankful for your love and your care, your concern in every way. God is faithful and God is good. The teaching today is going to be along doctrinal lines, and it's directly out of the Bible. Praise the Lord. And I'm sure there are things that you already know, but maybe there's young people that need to have it more established in their hearts. Maybe how you can explain it to people from the Bible. It's just going to be a short little spot for each of the three things that I'm going to mention. We're not going to go into depth with each one, but there's a verse in, let's start with Revelation. Thank the Lord. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these words, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in his book. Amen. In this book. 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Maybe you all heard about flight 272 and the Boeing 777. It was in an airport in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, if I'm saying that right. It was the 8th of March, and they were carrying 370 people, and there was a deliberate action they discovered and investigated later on that took place, several deliberate actions, and that was that they disconnected the communication and reporting system was one, and then they also disconnected the transporter that sends signals, that sends signals from the ground. And then they changed their normal course and went in a different route. And then the airplane disappeared. You probably all remember that. And my thought was on that there were deliberate actions so that you could not trace the plane. If it crashed, you could not read the recording and see what was happening. There were deliberate actions. And we have a devil, amen, that would like to place you on a flight directly to hell. And he would like to remove any actions of the Holy Spirit to try to speak to you. He'd like to block it and keep you busy and keep you entertained and keep you in drugs and with the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches. That's right. And block any signals that would tell you you're going the wrong direction, you're going the wrong way. Amen? Yeah. And it's a deliberate action of the devil, even in teaching doctrine and the sectism today and the false churches of today. There's a deliberate action of the devil that has deceived the ministry of those churches. I believe it because I was in a sect and I was not deliberately trying to deceive anybody. But I had deliberately been deceived or misguided in the Word of God. And something had been disconnected from my communication and reporting system that when others would try to tell me you're wrong on that point or wrong on this point, I would defend almost to the death the doctrine that I was under. Because I believed we had the true church. I believed we had the true doctrine. Amen. Praise the Lord. He would like to disconnect the transponder that sends signals from other people that are trying to help us. Our parents that are saved. A grandmother that's saved. A minister that is trying to reach you. He would like for you not to be able to receive that. He'd like to deliberately disconnect the transponder. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's what Jesus was warning against in this Revelation 22:18, that if any man will add unto these things, speaking about the book of Revelation, but I take it for the whole Word of God.
Amen.
Because it's connected. This book was, they were all put together. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if we add to it or take away from it, the Lord will add plagues to us.
That's right.
Punishment to us. If we do it willingly and knowingly, I'm thankful that I didn't know it. I didn't do it willingly and knowingly. I was deceived. I was misled. But when I found out that I was wrong, you better believe that I studied it. And I wanted to be sure that I was wrong. And then I started changing the way that I believed. Asking the Lord, take away that old doctrine and give me the true doctrine, Lord. I don't want to teach anymore a doctrine that is watered down, that I've added to or that I've taken away from. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Paul has some similar words to say in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. He was surprised at the Galatians. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Those of us that know the true Church of God, know the true Holy Spirit, know the true Christ, know the true God the Father, we know that there's really no other gospel. There's only one gospel.
Amen.
But there are other gospels that are false.
Yeah, that's right.
You know that there's other $100 bills that are floating around that have been counterfeited?
Yeah.
Have you ever held up a $20 bill or a $50 bill and they have marks that you don't see without the light, but you hold them up and there's the face of a president? Washington, Abraham Lincoln, I forget what are the other faces of the presidents. You can't see it normally like this, but when you hold it up to the light, have you ever seen when you buy something, $100, they hold it up to light? It's because it has watermarks there that you cannot see normally until you hold it up to the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then he said, ye are the light of the world. Because once the light of the world, Jesus is in us, we've accepted him into our hearts, then we are the light of the world, because Jesus is shining through us.
Amen.
In the way we live, in our example, the words that we speak,
right.
The Spirit speaking through us. Amen?
Amen?
So there really isn't another gospel. There is only one true gospel, but there are other false gospels. And that's what he was referring to. There's only one true gospel. There's not another real gospel. There's only one body, one faith, one baptism, one true God. Amen?
Amen.
One Holy Spirit that leads us unto all truth. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed. Have you removed yourself today from the true gospel? Are you wanting to go the easy way, the wide way, where many are entering and you don't like the narrow way anymore, where there's very few? I believe you're one of the ones that love the narrow way tonight. I believe you are, or else you would not be here this evening. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 7. We're in Galatians 1, verse 7. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now we have a clue that the other gospel is a perverted gospel. And praise the Lord that we are not satisfied with the perverted gospel. We want the true gospel.
Amen.
If there's anything that we have believed or are a little off on, we want the Lord to correct it.
Yeah.
We don't want to be off in any way. We want to be tuned with heaven.
Yeah,
amen.
Right.
When an instrument is off a little bit, those of you that are musical can notice it. But we tune. We get tuned. Amen?
That's right.
So we sound exactly on key. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. We want to be tuned with the Holy Spirit, in tune with the Holy Spirit, not out of tune and out of step with the Holy Spirit, out of tune and out of step with the Bible, the Word of God that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. We don't want that. I don't want that. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Amen.
If somebody else comes preaching another gospel, the Bible says, let him be accursed.
Amen.
Amen. Who can read verses 9 and 10, please? Verses 9 and 10.
As we said before, so I now again, if any man preach any other gospel,
amen.
You,
praise the Lord.
Then that ye have received, let him be accursed.
Amen.
For do I know,
persuading men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know, when we try to alter the gospel, the word of God, add to it or take away from it, to make it easier so that people won't get offended and leave or get hurt, we're perverting the gospel. Amen. We're making it different than what it's supposed to be, and we're trying to please man. I'm so thankful. I was visiting with a young minister today, and he says basically that he doesn't want to please man. If God gives him a message, he wants to speak that message. And I appreciate young men like that, that love the Lord that much.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. He is so good and so faithful.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to cover first just a little section of the second work of grace.
Yes.
We can go and preach about it for an hour and 30 minutes if you want, but it's just going to be a little section right now. We know that you understand what it means, but first we're saved, right?
Amen.
And then we go on to the second work, which is sanctification.
Yes.
Let's talk just a little bit about the first work of grace, which is justification. It tells us in Romans 3, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Praise the Lord. tells us here that we are being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ by His blood. Justified freely. That word justified just means to be made legally right before the Lord, clear to the past. Amen. There's an example, a little story that I once read. There was a man that had, I believe, stolen something or killed somebody. I don't remember what his crime was, but he was living in medieval times when the punishment was very great. They hung them and they would die hanging. And so they caught this man committing this crime and they put him in jail and they had given him, I don't know, a week or something like that to be hung. His wife could come visit him and she did. And his brother, he had a brother that was a twin brother. Exactly, they looked alike exactly. They came to visit him in the prison. And in the conversation, the brother felt moved by the Lord to tell him, you know, you have a wife, you have children. I'm not married, the other brother said, that had not committed the crime. And I love you so much, I don't want to see you die. How will your wife survive and your children? And he goes, and the man said, yes. And he said, I want to take your place. You know, if we exchange clothing right now, nobody will ever know what's going on. And the brother that had committed the crime says, no, you can't do that. I love you too much for you to do that. He says, no, brother, I love you more. And so they talked about it some more. He persuaded him. Right there in the cell, they exchanged clothing. He put on the prisoner's clothing and the other one put on the civilian's clothing. And the one that was guilty went out free. The guards didn't stop him. Went out free. The one that was innocent stayed in his place. That's justification. That day, that following week, when the guilty one was supposed to die, the guiltless one, the innocent one, the innocent twin lookalike brother, went to the gallows. He was standing on a platform. They removed the platform from underneath with his cord around his neck, and he hung there and died in place of the guilty one. And that brother started to cry. He said, thank you, brother, for what you did for me. I'll forever be grateful for what you did for me. And that's the way we feel about our Jesus Christ. He took our place. We were the prisoners. He came and put himself for 33 and a half years in a body, imprisoned himself in a human body, being God Almighty.
Amen.
Amen. Having no beginning and no end.
Amen.
There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These three are one God. That's they right. Share the same essence. They're made of the same thing.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And he exchanged places with us, went to the cross, paid the price. And when I get a vision of Jesus on the cross and I think of his nail-pierced hands and the crown of thorns and his body all torn and lacerated, dying in my place, I feel the same way like that brother. But that was just only a temporary thing that he died. He was going to die afterwards, the brother that was set free. Praise the Lord, someone died in our place so that we never have to die. Praise Amen. The Lord. He justified us from our sins. Yes. It's as if we never done it. He took our place. He took the guilt. And we've been justified. It's as if we never did it. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
That's justification. That's when we pray. Jesus comes into our hearts. We're justified. Our past is forgiven by the blood of Jesus through faith in Christ.
Amen.
That's the first step, justification. When Adam and Eve sinned in the beginning, amen, and all the children that they had, they passed on a fallen nature, a carnal nature, or a depraved nature. And all of us inherited it. But then when I was born and I inherited that from Adam and Eve, then there was another thing that took place. I sinned personally. I did something that was responsible, that I was responsible for. Amen.
Amen.
Adam and Eve fell one level. And when we're born, that one fallen level, then when we sin, we fall another level. Further down from the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. From the image of God. That's why when we come to the Lord, He forgives us. We rise that one level from where we were in sin to a higher level. Justification, as if we never did it, pure, forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
But then there's still the need of rising one more level.
That's right.
To the holiness of God, to that image of God that Adam and Eve lost. And that's what it tells us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Preserve you wholly. He preserves our spirit, our soul, and our body. He sanctifies it. Praise the Lord. Sanctification just means to be made holy. It also means to be set apart for a special purpose. But really, it just means that we're made as holy as God is, as blameless as God is, holy. Praise the Lord. Purified, a purified heart. Let's go to Luke 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we do not receive when we are first saved. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit shall be with you. The Holy Spirit is with you and He shall be in you. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when we are saved, the Holy Spirit... When I dated my wife, I held her hand. Maybe it's not the teaching of the saints, but it was a very clean holding of the hand. And she was with me wherever I went, except she didn't stay at my home. But we were together a lot. When I started to get to know her and asked her, will you marry me? That was one commitment. That's like justification. But there was still something lacking, a deeper commitment. That's like sanctification. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is with you, He told the disciples, and He shall be in you. Yes. Amen? I don't know if I'm quoting that exactly right. So when I was dating my wife, she was holding my hand. She was with me. But when she married me, she moved in with me into my home. Something that she did not do before she married me. Amen? Yes. When we are justified or saved, the Holy Spirit is with us. And He works within us too. He does a work within us, no doubt about it, but He's not abiding there continually. The heart has to be purified and cleansed. A second work has to be done. The carnal nature, that fallen nature that we received from Adam and Eve has to be removed. Yeah. Amen? I was a missionary in Baja California in the sect that we left. They don't consider themselves to be a denomination, and neither did I. And really, I don't yet. They're a very small fellowship all over the world. But when I was there, I was 2 years in Baja California, and we visited, preaching in a certain little town called Tecate in Baja California. And we were working with a man that was listening to the gospel, but he was so busy working that he could not be in the gospel meetings. So we decided to put on our work clothes and as two missionaries, preaching the word of God, my companion and I. Amen. We went to his home, to his place of business, and he mixes clay and makes bricks, the bricks that you build houses out of. And so we rolled up our pant legs and we were in there mixing the clay with him and talking and said, do you know that Jesus loves you and that He died on the cross of Calvary to save you? And that's what we'd be preaching. Splat, we get stuff in our eyes. But thank the Lord that the Lord is faithful and the Lord is good. We were able to preach to him. But what I want to mention there is that when we would mix the clay, it'd be all mixed. He would have molds, the shape of the brick, and with a shovel, we'd put in the brick or the mud, the red clay, into the mold. And then the sun would dry it. Then we'd come and break the mold and take it out, and there'd be the bricks. But there was still something lacking. It was not strong yet. You could wet it, and it'd fall apart. It'd dissolve. That's like justification. Amen. We've been put in the mold. Amen? We're in Christ. Amen? We're no longer the same. We've been changed. We've become new creatures in Christ. Amen? Amen? All things have passed away. We've been taken out of the place we were, placed in a new place, in the family of God. But if you try to build a home and leave it exposed with that brick after time, your whole home will crumble. It'll dissolve, it'll melt, it'll fall apart. But, so there was a need of a second work, distinct and separate from the first work, which is like sanctification. Amen? An instantaneous second work, like the first one was instantaneous. The moment we believed and repented and washed by blood, instantly we're saved. Doesn't take 1 day, 2 days, instantly. Likewise, the moment we come to the Lord and place our all on the altar sincerely, sometimes it's with tears, with seriousness, there's commitment, there's giving our all, putting it all on the altar. When we really do that, instantly the Holy Spirit comes down and purifies the heart and enters our heart. It's a second instantaneous work. It's not a gradual work like I used to teach. It's not a gradual sanctification. Each day you're sanctified. Each year you're made more sanctified. No, it's an instantaneous, automatic, quick, at that moment, sanctification. After that, of course, we're still going to grow in understanding and in grace, but we're already purified, as pure as can be. Amen. Praise the Lord. When the Holy Spirit comes down and purifies us, as holy as God is himself. Praise the Lord. He imparts, he shares with us his divine nature. He imparts it with us. Praise the Lord. We become partakers of his divine nature. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Well, so this brick, what do we do with it? We take it out of the mold. And then he'd have a kiln built. It's a little thing made out of adobes. And there were a lot of them. And he'd pile on the bricks with space in between and then light a fire underneath it. And they'd almost become red glowing. I forget how long it took to leave them in there. It's kind of like firing pottery. When they were done and cooled out, he'd take them out. And now there had been a distinct change, something that was very noticeable. The first step left it where you could wet it and it would dissolve. Now you could wet it, it won't be dissolved. You could throw rocks at it, throw it against the wall. It's very strong. It's not a weakling anymore. Amen?
Amen.
Remember what happened to Peter? He denied Jesus three times before he was sanctified, before he was purified. Later on, he stood up with boldness and was no longer afraid. He even wrote 1st and 2nd Peter and wrote it all over the world and said, Peter, an apostle and servant of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One moment he was so weak, he denied Jesus before a little maiden. Said, no, I know him not. Three times, and then the cock crowed. Amen. Later on, he stood up in the day of Pentecost with power, with anointing.
Amen.
After the Holy Spirit came down like tongues and filled their hearts. No longer weakling Peter, strong Peter. No longer Peter that was afraid or ashamed to announce the gospel of Christ. He wrote those letters and spread them everywhere. He could have been killed any moment. In fact, he was hung upside down. He didn't want to be hung right side up according to tradition says. When the fire comes down, we're no longer the same. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord that my heart is fully sanctified. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to preach the gospel in any place. I don't care who shoots me, stabs me. I know whatever happens, I'll be directly in heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord. May the Lord help us to yield our all on the altar. If not, someone is going to come around and change our mind if we're not sanctified. Amen. Praise the Lord. The devil is going to try to send us a perverted gospel, another gospel that is going to lead us directly to hell. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 1:15. 2 Corinthians 1:15. And in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before that ye might have a second benefit. I don't know what all this is talking about, but it could have been talking about sanctification, a second benefit. He wanted to come to them and give them a second benefit. Praise the Lord. The Lord wants to give us a second benefit, a second privilege called the work of grace.
Amen.
The second work of grace. A second distinct work from the beginning, from the first one. Thank the Lord. That ye might have a second benefit or a second work of grace. Thank the Lord. Luke 10:20. Luke 10:20. The disciples here had been saved. Here were the 70 that were saved. If they had not been saved, they could not cast out devils, really cast them out, preach the gospel and people be saved. He sent them out to preach. He sent out saved disciples. Luke 10:20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. They came back rejoicing because they had power over serpents and scorpions. Excuse me. Praise the Lord. People were saved. And he told them, don't rejoice because the devils are being cast out, because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. So what we want to establish here is that these disciples were already saved. They were saved, but they did not yet have the Holy Spirit. That did not take place until Acts 2, as y'all know. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Book of Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive. He didn't say you have received. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Ye shall receive power After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Who was he talking to? He was talking to the 12, the 11 disciples they had left behind. They were going to be the 12 apostles and the other believers. They were already saved. But yet he was saying something that shall be. They were going to receive power in the future when they received the second work of grace. Amen? Thank the Lord. These disciples were saved. The Holy Spirit was with them, but he was not in them yet. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Glory to God. I want to say that preaching the gospel, preaching this doctrine, this different doctrine than what I used to preach, this real doctrine, it was difficult in the beginning to try to convey this to the Mexicans. Many of them are not educated. And I thought, how do we convey this a second work to them? And the Lord brought to my mind that about the bricks and also about maybe sometimes you all have problems with ants. There's an anthill. And you try pouring gasoline on it, burning it. You try throwing all kinds of stuff on the ants on the outside, spraying them. But more keep on coming out from the anthill. And you keep on spraying those and spraying them. Let's compare that to justification. The Lord is taking care of the sin. But if you do not take care of something that's way down deep in that anthill, called the queen ant, what is that queen ant going to keep on producing? She lays thousands of eggs. I forgot. I looked it up in an encyclopedia. Thousands and thousands of eggs a year. You can kill all the ants on the surface until no more are coming out. You've killed them all the ones that are alive. But she's in there laying more eggs. And after a little while, those eggs hatch and more ants come out again.
That's right.
Amen? So there's a queen ant in our life. It's called carnality. It's called depravity. Yes. It's what we received from Adam and Eve.
Amen.
That's why there are many Christians that are saved and they're washed in their past. But after a certain amount of time, something pops up. Oh, they get angry and they lose their temper. And then they're being tempted and they don't have power to resist it because they have not gone through the second work of grace. Amen?
Amen.
And pretty soon, they're no longer justified. They've fallen back into sin again. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus has justified them. All the ants of sin have been killed, but the mother, the queen ant, is still alive down there. And so you wonder, how can we kill this queen ant? Well, now they've made poison that the little ants will take down and they'll feed it to the queen ant. It'll kill the eggs that she's laying and it'll kill the whole colony eventually. This poison, it's not poison to us, it's called the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
When it's applied the second time to her heart, it kills the queen ant.
Amen.
It destroys, it takes out that carnal nature, that depravity.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. Now, does that mean that we're not going to be tempted? No, we're still tempted. We still have human nature. We still get tired. We still weep. We still have feelings. But we don't act the same anymore.
Amen.
I don't. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that He has been faithful to sanctify us, to justify us, and to sanctify us.
Yes.
Do you find weakness in your heart? Do you find when you're tempted you can't resist? Do you find yourself walking in the direction of sin and you can't stop it? You need a second work of grace called sanctification.
Right.
When a person is sanctified, justified, you can resist sin. But if you remain that way and don't go on, you might find yourself falling into sin again.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. That's just a little bit about sanctification. Let's go on to another doctrine. You know, I'm thankful that there's doctrines that distinguish us from the false church.
Amen.
There's true doctrine and false doctrine. And tonight we're talking about that which distinguishes the true church of God from the false church. The true gospel from the false gospel. But we're going to cover 3 points. If the Lord gives us time, and we can cover some more later on. Another one is when we have been sanctified, we don't want carnal things anymore. In our services, we don't want it to be a carnal service.
Amen.
We don't hire a band and announce it saying that we have a certain Christian band playing because we want to draw in the crowds, we want to draw in the youth. Do we?
No.
No, we're not carnal anymore. Amen. We're walking in the Spirit. Praise the Lord.